With your Amex card, entertainment benefits like special ticket access and pre-sales to select can't-miss events while supplies last, make every tap music to your ears.
Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere. Like when your fantasy league meets up at your house. Everything's great until the hot plate gets too hot for the tablecloth. Now your kitchen's up in smoke. And if you don't have the right home insurance coverage, the cost to fix this is anything but a fantasy. So switch to Allstate, save money, and get protected from mayhem like this. Not available in every state. Based on coverage selected, subject to terms, conditions, and availability. Savings vary.
Yeah. I'm not gonna lie, daughter has fun.
This thing going. All right, we're live. Sponsored by Goldfish Bunnies.
Goldfish Bunnies, put some respect on the name, man. This is Annie's Cheddar Bunnies.
Okay.
If you know, you know.
Fuel of champions or runners up?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm feeling it today. we're podcasting the Monday after. I've not recovered yet.
Yeah, how do you feel? Do you guys think you're going to win it?
Did we think we were going to win it?
Yeah.
We did, yeah. And I think, I really hope we get a chance to run it back a third time, because I think we've proven to be pretty clearly the two top best teams.
Yeah.
And you can't end 1-1.
Right.
Obviously.
Well, you had an interesting tweet. Said, when's the next one?
Yeah.
Apparently there was some subtext to that I missed.
Yeah, well, I mean, by all accounts, it sounds like something will change about San Clemente. We don't really know what that looks like, but, you know, there's rumors of it moving like Dallas did. There's rumors of it not looking exactly the same.
Yeah.
All I care about is I want another shot at those guys.
Yeah, you
want
to rematch.
They outplayed us. They deserved it yesterday. We deserve it next month.
Okay. All right.
You say
there's rumors. What are the sources of these rumors? What are the rumors? Just the fact that it's uncertain.
I mean, I think MLP seems like very budget conscious ahead of next year, and you know, this is just my speculation. It seems like they're budget conscious ahead of next year, and I think San Clemente isn't exactly the cheapest venue you could get. I'm not quite sure. There are rumors, but I haven't confirmed the source of any of these rumors. I just hope it happens. I hope we get a third chance.
Yeah.
Gotta have the rubber match. We'll make it happen.
Okay.
But overall, I thought it was an interesting event. I thought it probably wasn't quite as good as previous MLPs.
Why?
The venue was in shambles. The venue was kind of a disaster.
Right.
Like,
well, apparently, I mean, they threw it together, tried to get everything in place, knowing that Nationals was coming up, and they were like, it was like a last second thing. And
right. And that's the thing. It was very clearly under construction for the purpose of Nationals, and there's just a lot going on. There were shuttles were kind of a disaster getting into the venue, which I don't know who's at fault for that, but I just Ubered, so I avoided it.
Right.
It was a construction area, to be quite honest. But the center court still, like, we packed up center court. The fans were awesome. People showed up despite the issues, and had great crowds, and awesome energy on center court. So still fun to play. I think the fans still had fun. So
yeah, I don't know. As a viewer from home, it felt like there was just less hype. Like it felt, I don't know what it was, but it just felt like maybe it was the fact that it seemed like the venue was makeshift, and that kind of just like came through.
Hmm.
But yeah, I mean, it just seemed like a less important Major League Pickleball than the previous. And maybe that is just the fact that the more Major League Pickleballs you have, the less and less important each individual one seems, just because it's one of many, right?
Yeah, and I think the last one is it's interesting to so the middle event is going to be the most boring one, right? The first event is going to be everybody's on a new team.
Yeah.
The second event is okay, whatever. People are on their new team, the teams are established. It's another event. The third event is interesting because then you're playing for the super final And that would be, that's an interesting thing too. So
yeah.
Second event is probably like Daytona last season was probably the low point of MLPs.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I guess I didn't watch much, so I didn't, I couldn't tell you whether that was the case or not.
Do you watch our podcast episodes?
No, of course not. Do you?
No, not typically, unless I have to go look for something specific. But just a random question.
I have a couple people who watch it for me who then audit the amount of swearing that I've done.
Right.
And then I have to go and contribute to the Stop Alzheimer's swear jar. And then we have to let ProXR know because they match the swear jar. And then we let Game Plus and Access TV know because they match the swear jar as well. So shout out to you fuckers.
I gotta say, you're in a pretty good mood for coming off the L there.
I'm running on
bounce back quick
on fumes and cheddar bunnies. Yeah. So, yeah.
Not a lot of sleep last night?
No, I actually slept like a baby. I'm just still pretty tired. It's an emotional come down, right?
Right.
That's probably the main thing it is.
Yeah.
So. But you look great, Thomas. You always look great.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Are you going to Dallas tomorrow? When are you going?
I'm not.
Are you playing Nationals at all?
I am not.
No Nationals for you. No Pickleball Boulevard.
No Pickleball
Whatever
Boulevard.
That is.
I'm not participating in the world's longest pickleball game
either.
Yeah,
they broke the record this morning, apparently. I don't know how they do that. Is it just you just extend the rallies? You just stand out there for like 3 hours?
No, I saw them out there, and they just had games going on the entire time, and I saw Swiss Helm refereeing it. I was walking by to go to the bathroom before our match, and he was like, 70 to 62 on two. I was like, what the hell?
70 to 62 on two. So they just, like, changed the rules then?
I don't know. I think they're just...
Do you want to go beat the world record? Like,
no, I don't
we'll
care.
Just have it?
At all.
I really want a world record.
You...
I just have always, doesn't every kid have that dream? Like, you've always just, like, looked at the Guinness World Records book and been like, what could I break? But then you have to get Guinness to, like, come out and actually survey it. That's the biggest hurdle.
Was Guinness there for this thing?
I think so.
Really?
Yeah.
So some dude just watched, like, a 4-day pickleball match, just be like, yep, they did it.
I assume, I mean, maybe they send it in after, but then, you know, I might just go do that.
Yeah, so when I saw it, there was, like, lines of people waiting to participate. And so I think people were just, like, subbed in and out the entire time.
Yeah. Ben and Anna Lee, not a great MLP showing for them. Question, because somebody just tweeted it at us. If Ben and Anna Lee were in the main draw PPA, how far could they go in men's doubles?
How far would they go in men's doubles? I think they would lose in the quarterfinals.
You think they'd go pretty far?
Depends what they're seated at too. That's part of the thing with PPA. Like if they run into, you know, a top eight team. I would say I think they're a top eight team, but it depends on the draw.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. What do you think?
That's pretty good. I don't know. I guess I've never actually played against Anna Lee before, so I don't have a concept of how good she actually is in the grand scheme of things.
Yeah, she smacks the ball pretty good.
Yeah, she just rips it.
Yes, she does. And it complements Ben pretty well, too. Right. So, I mean, I think that they're going to beat some of the weaker teams in the draw. I think they're going to lose to most of the gold card holder teams.
Yeah.
But then also, like, that's just that'd be a weird dynamic. Like, I think that they could just mentally toy with some people, too.
Yeah.
I think that'd be their biggest advantage.
Right.
That and having Ben on the court.
I got a frantic call from Trot Pickleball this morning, Nick. And he goes, so we're playing in this Detroit tournament this weekend? And he calls me, and he goes, dude, I got to be honest. He just goes, hey, what's going on? I got to be honest with you. I have not touched a paddle in a while, dude. Like, are you ready? Like, are you a left side player? Because I'm going to need you to take, like, 80% of the court, and I'll just do my thing on the right side. Like, I really want you to Ben Johns it. Like, he's just going on it before I even get a word in. He's, like, super stressed. I'm like, it's okay, dude. Like, it's just, like, we'll be fine.
So, wait, what is this tournament? Is this one of the bounce tournaments?
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah, yeah.
So it's like right near where I grew up. So it's going to be like a bunch of family and friends playing in it too. So it should be pretty fun.
Yeah. So what's the four? Is it like 5-0 or what?
Yeah. There's there's mixed men's and women's, and then I think it's like mixed, I think, is like 3 to 4-0. But then men's has 3 to 4 and 4 to 5, and then women's has 3 to 4. So yeah, but it's like round robins. Everybody gets at least like 6 matches, and it should be a good time. We're gonna turn one of the courts into like a hangout spot. And
nice. So are you gonna Ben Johns it?
Yeah, hell yeah. It was like music to my ears.
He said, oh, just speed up whatever you want and take 80% of the court.
I was like, I left and just go off. Okay, say less. I will do that.
Nice. Well, I think you and Tropical, that needs to be published somewhere or another.
Yeah, we should stream. Like,
we need to have. We need to see some of that for sure.
Yeah, he's a good player. He's got good hands. But, you know, he doesn't have a lot of confidence in the game right now, so we'll see.
For somebody like that, like him, like a Warnick, a Johnny Goldberg, like, honestly, the confidence in the game is one thing, but confidence in the mouth is probably the most important thing.
I just need him to get vocal out there.
Exactly. If he just starts talking.
Like stocks.
Like stocks?
Yeah.
Well, you probably don't want any points subtracted, any more points subtracted, but sure.
That was pretty unreal. But I say we start with paddle drama, as we have made a recurring theme on this podcast.
Yeah.
So it sounds like it wasn't Major League Pickleball this weekend was not without paddle drama.
Yeah, paddle drama is at an all-time high.
Okay.
By far. So basically, last week we had the podcast with Carl, and yep. I predicted that there are going to be a ton, whatever it was. It was 65% of paddles in Atlanta failed USA Pickleball's standard.
Yep.
But Major League Pickleball has a higher threshold for surface texture. Well, this time it's sounding like we're going to be 90%+
really?
Paddles.
Yeah.
So, for example, there were no 002s in competition this time.
And was that just like a blanket rule?
No, I just think none of them seem to have passed.
They all failed.
So Tyson was not using his. Now he uses a Power Air or something. It's not it's not that black and red one, but it's the black and red one is the one that that Jimmy and Dylan typically use.
Yeah,
and both of them had to change to something else because they're just apparently too hot.
Yeah.
The Yolas got wrecked for both surface roughness and deflection. Accounts like a certain player had brought 8 Yola paddles really? To them, failed all of them. Yeah. I heard another player had brought 12 paddles and had 11 of them fail.
And so these players are bringing an insane amount of paddles because they need like one of them to pass, basically. It's like a volume game. It's like, well, one of them's going to pass.
Yeah, that's what I did. I initially brought 8 paddles. 2 of the 8 failed. And so I'm down to 6.
Okay.
And
then can I get the 2 that failed? Can you give
Hell
me
Hell no. I'm what? Keeping them. Are you kidding me? What are you going to do with the 2 failed paddles?
I need a new paddle. I use your paddle. Great. I have this tournament coming up and I need a new paddle, but they're like sold out.
Are you actually going to use it?
Yeah, of course.
I don't know if I believe you because I
Wait,
gave
why
you.
Why wouldn't I?
I gave you that other
you
paddle.
You gave me the standard. You gave me the standard. I don't want the standard. I want your paddle.
All right, you want the squeeze one?
If you had one, by the way, I was going to bring you a gift, and it was basically I was just going to sign the standard and give it back to you.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Perfect. All right, I can hook you up with the squeeze paddle.
Yeah. Oh, an orange one? That'd be even. Yeah, I guess that's what you're playing with. Yeah.
Yeah.
Those things are sick.
When do you leave?
Tomorrow morning.
Tomorrow morning. Logistically, that might be tough.
We'll figure it out.
We'll get it sorted.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's so a bunch of the Pro XRs failed. That's by design.
Mm.
And at least now we don't. Now we have some company.
Yeah.
Like
yeah,
welcome,
right. You can
welcome
speak
Selkirk.
More freely.
Welcome Yola. Come on, it's nice over here.
Yeah.
We've been hanging out with Carbon for a little while. So yeah, it's I talked to some of the guys doing the testing, and it leads to 2 questions, right? It leads to, did something change from their testing? Like, are they screwing it up? Or are the paddle manufacturers changing something? Or number 3, is the testing done elsewhere done differently or done in a way that passes more paddles than probably should.
Mm-hmm.
So my sense is that the guys from Pickle Pro Labs are just hard on the rules. There's no finagling, like it's pass fail, like we're not going to change the steret to get a good reading, whatever. But I think we'll have to have those guys pop on and chat through their methodology, because theoretically they are far more lenient on surface roughness. 20% margin of error, meaning that your RZ reading for grit can go up to 48, and still tons of these are failing, mm-hmm. right? And so makes you wonder, well, how are they passing 43 at a PPA event?
Right. Because now we've got nationals this week, and we'll see how many failures there are, or they won't even talk about it. That's kind of what I expect. But, you know, how do you go from one event, 90% of paddles failing, to the next, and everybody can play with their paddles?
Mm-hmm. Which also, like, personally, who cares if these paddles fail? Like, that's good. We have that. We have the testing in place. Like, if you have to go give them 15 paddles and only three of them pass, like, okay, fine. You want the ones that are close to the limit, right?
Yeah.
So I don't have a problem with it. But we still don't want things that are over the limit. So there's still I still think there's a lot of – it'll be interesting to see a report from the Pickle Pro Labs. It'll be interesting to chat with these guys and maybe see if they have a theory as to why so many paddles are failing.
Yeah. How often do you think it's important to change your paddle to maintain grit?
To maintain grit?
Yeah, specifically grit.
It depends on the paddle. So there's sort of different surfaces. So my paddle, for example, the Pro XRs, basically, like, you hit with it for, like, 10 minutes, it's going to lose, like, 5% of its grit.
Mm-hmm.
But then, because there's, like, it seems like there's some very, very fine layer on top of it. So it's absolutely insane for, like, a couple of minutes. And then it comes down to earth. Well, I mean, like, so if... There's something on top of it that's crazy. But it that tiny little thing goes away pretty quickly. And then it's still insane afterwards, but not the same level.
Yeah.
So I would say if on a scale of 0 to 100 grit, and these are just random units. So if a Pro XR starts at 100, within 10 minutes of hitting, it goes down to 95, which mm-hmm. is still awesome. And then it probably, over the next month, it goes from maybe 95 to like 92. It doesn't lose a whole lot after that.
Okay.
But that's the way that our paddles are made. Some of them that have like spray on grit. Yeah, there's some of like the Selkirk.
Can you get that? Might have to be our first product. Grit in a can.
I mean, more or less. There's basically like a finish that I think Selkirk puts on at the end of it that sort of adds texture,
right.
And that comes off much quicker.
Mm-hmm.
It's somewhat similar to the Franklin fiberglass paddles that just have like a surface of grit. Those lose their grit very, very quickly.
Yeah.
So it depends whether what your paddle's basically made of, what the top surface is.
I was talking to these guys who are coming out with a product, and I don't know if I'm supposed to talk about this. Maybe I'll have to check, but basically, like, it's sheets that you put on the face of your paddle to basically be able to, like, refresh grit, like, you know, every other day that you play.
Interesting. So you just tear a little piece off? And...
Yeah, and it's really interesting. I know Chris Olsen played with it a little bit and said it was, like, actually pretty solid. But they quoted some figure around, like, you know, after, you know, playing with your paddle 10 times or something, you lose, like, 30% of your grit, which is, like, insanely significant, and people should be refreshing their paddles much more than they are. And if grit really has that big of an impact, then like that should be, you know, something that people are doing more often. So I just thought that was super interesting.
Yeah. I don't know if I buy it with at 30%. Yeah. There are certain paddles that are
paddle.
Probably, that's probably like those accurate.
Old Franklin X40s.
Yeah, the Franklin things. And the Ben Johns ones. The,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean,
yeah, not X40s.
Definitely.
Sorry,
that's probably losing.
Yeah, yeah, right.
That's probably losing 70% of its grit.
Yeah.
Like, been there.
They were saying that, like, the way the ball spins, the holes in the ball almost, maybe you said this actually, so I'm going to feel dumb if this was you who said this on a recent episode, but like, almost acts moving at that speed as like a thin blade, and just like slowly cuts away at the grit, which is why you lose grit over time.
I didn't say that, but it's an interesting theory. I mean, it kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
If you look at one of those carbon, raw carbon paddles, you sort of see little cuts in there. It makes sense. I don't know whether it's true or not, but it's plausible.
Yeah. So, depending on your paddle, go change it right now.
Or, don't worry about it. You got the Pro XR Zane paddle, you're good for a while. I used mine for months straight.
Yeah, mine's held up. Mine's still holding up.
Mm-hmm.
But I like fresh paddles.
Fair.
And I like I ones mean, that are right on the limit.
So absolutely.
Give me one of yours.
There we go.
All right, what else we got from Age? Is that all you got on the paddle stuff?
Yeah, I think there's probably going to be a decent amount more information that comes out soon on this. But right now, it's just what I heard from the players. People day of were like scrambling, buying stuff from Pickleball Central, like just trying to figure out, borrowing other people's paddles.
Right.
Like it was a crapshoot that morning.
It's just insane to me that the highest level that is taking place.
Yeah, because it's just... I think players were caught off guard.
Yeah.
Right. Maybe the new paddles that they were given were a little bit different,
mm-hmm.
and they didn't know.
Yeah. Paddle manufacturers, tough biz right now. Got to be very careful. All right. One thing I saw, and this is kind of like I feel like I've had arguments about this on the court before, but I didn't realize. Do you know what this 2-becomes-1 rule is? That Courtney Johnson explained.
Mm-hmm.
I had never known this was a thing.
That figures.
But I think most people didn't know. But essentially, Andre comes over to try and take a dink, or I guess a volley, steps in front of Anna, but it's just outside of his reach. So Anna ends up taking the volley. But when Andre stepped over, his foot went into the kitchen. But even though he didn't make contact with the ball, he was touching Anna. And so 2-becomes-1, technically kitchen violation.
Mm-hmm.
I had never heard that before, the 2-becomes-1. And Courtney laid down the law.
Oh, yeah. No, she doesn't mess around.
Yeah.
It's a rule, I think.
I mean, Andre didn't seem like he knew.
Oh, yeah. Andre had no idea. I was trying to tell him, like, yeah, dude, you were super in the kitchen.
Right, right.
That is for sure a rule.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I suppose it could... I wonder what the original, like, why is that in the rule book? And the only thing that I can think of is you could possibly exploit that rule by, like...
This is Shea Underwood. This is Shea Underwood would do this, but go ahead.
Well, you could exploit the rule by, like, having somebody leaning in as far as they can.
And you're in the kitchen, like, holding them up.
For sure.
And they're like, yeah.
And I think that's probably the reason for that rule, I would guess.
Yeah. Yeah.
It'd be kind of cool. Like, what if you just... So Andre's a big boy, right?
Yeah.
He could for sure carry me.
Yes.
So I establish myself outside of the kitchen, and then he just carries me around at the net, and I'm like in the kitchen.
Yeah.
Can you imagine?
That's great. Yeah.
That would be a new strategy. I want Ed and Lika as my partner. The combination of Ed and Lika and Hayden Patrickson playing that game would be unmatched.
Yes.
Who else? There's nobody else that could beat that team.
I mean, yeah, Andre carrying you.
Andre carrying me.
Andre carrying like a Kawamoto.
That'd be a good mixed team.
Yeah.
But I think Eden can probably carry the most weight out of anybody.
All right. Well, you guys know that we work with Vuori, best sponsor ever, because, we constantly wear their stuff. I'm wearing my shirt right now. I've been playing in this shirt a lot, but I pretty much wear it everywhere. Especially when I'm traveling, I wear those sweatpants that they have. They have a bunch of different options. I'm a big fan of the joggers, But you can go to Vuori.com/thedink to get 20% off your first purchase and enjoy free shipping on any U.S. orders over $75 and free returns. That's Vuori.com/thedink. Discover the versatility of Vuori clothing. What did you think of the Vuvuzelas? Especially in the final.
I hadn't heard him since like the, what was it, like the 2008 World Cup?
Brazil, yeah.
Because
I'll tell you, they were annoying as hell watching on the stream.
Were they?
So obnoxious. And then somebody, I think, had like a cowbell or something else. So it was like every point that DC won, Vuvuzela and like a cowbell. I was like, Jesus.
Yeah, I like noise. I like the rowdiness. I think I'm going to need to think about the Vuvuzela.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like you got, it's too easy, right? If you want to make a lot of noise, I feel like you got to make it a little bit more difficult than just doing your Vuvuzela. Like, yeah, you got to be yelling or whatever. Like, I don't know how I feel about noisemakers. But at the same time, I also want it loud. But Vuvuzelas are kind of annoying.
They're obnoxious. Growing up, playing hockey in Michigan, you know, you'd play different cities, basically. And, like, some of these moms would come with, Folgers coffee cans filled with coins and just go ham when there was, like, a goal. And I will never forget that. Just absolutely obnoxious.
PTSD.
Yeah, and this is essentially the equivalent. I could do without.
Do you get, like, because they banned Vuvuzelas in soccer, right? Like, you can't bring a Vuvuzela anymore to...
Yeah.
At least I haven't heard them in a while. Like, are you not allowed to bring noisemakers to stuff?
I mean, at a certain point, you should, right? Like, because where do you draw the line? What if you have an air horn, right?
Right.
Like, I bet they don't have any regulations around that. But at a certain point, like, it gets insane. And I think Vuvuzelas are, like, right on the limit.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. I wonder what other sports have done, because, like, obviously after that World Cup, Vuvuzelas were hot.
Yeah.
I'm sure somebody tried to bring it to a basketball game.
Did it not bug you while you guys were playing?
Honestly, I'm in, like, it's just in a different universe.
Yeah, right.
I heard it, but yeah, it didn't really bother me.
How was the trash talk?
Trash talk?
Just throughout, yeah.
I was a little bit more focused this time. You know, when it's an even playing field like last time, you know, you're kind of like, I feel like maybe we expected to win. Last time we wanted to win, of course, but I don't know if we had the expectation, right? Now we expect to win.
Yeah.
And so it's a little bit more serious. There's still some pretty good trash talk. Like, I think somebody told Julian he sucked. And that's pretty borderline.
Stocks. I mean, that was unbelievable. Did you watch that back?
I saw it.
Yeah.
That was.
Did you hear it? Were you on the court? Were you over there?
No, I wasn't over there.
Yeah.
No. Do you want to take us through what happened?
I mean, yeah, I guess. So.
Because I don't.
Quarterfinal.
I don't want to take us through what happened.
Miami versus Utah. Stocksrud and Tyra Black versus Annalee Waters and AJ Kohler. It's getting pretty mouthy. Annalee's doing her fist pumps.
Yeah, wait, hold on. What was happening before? What led up to that?
I don't know. I think just like they were just getting into it and it was getting intense and there was a lot of, you know, exaggerated come ons and stuff like that, right? So it builds. And Stocksrud, as we've seen, he can get pretty worked up. Nicest guy off the court, but he can lose his cool on the court pretty quickly. We've actually seen that like a decent amount lately from him, which is pretty funny, like the dichotomy of how nice he is off the court and then on, he's just kind of, he gets
and sometimes an he's animal. Just sometimes he's just super chill on the court too.
Yeah. Yeah. So you got to push his buttons, and when you do, he might let off a take that bitch.
Yeah, well, there's one for the Pro XR,
which, like,
swear jar.
I don't know. To me, he just, like, in the moment, I don't think he was, like, calling her that. I think he was just, like, that's just, like, what came to his head, right? But then, you know, a bunch of people are like, she's 16 years old. I don't really agree with that argument there. Like, he shouldn't say that regardless, but bringing up the 16-year-old when it's convenient and then leaving it out other times, I think, you know. She's a professional. She's playing at the highest level. At this point, she's pretty much an adult. I mean, she handles herself like an adult. Her interviews, she's like an adult. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, age regard, like, I don't feel like age is even an issue here. Like, you just can't say that.
Right.
You can't That's say my that point. To your, yeah, you just can't, you can't say that to a 16-year-old. You can't say that to a, yeah. to a, 35-year-old. Like, right. You just can't say that.
But then everyone was like, I think in the, like, on the benches and stuff, everyone was like laughing about it. Like both teams, because they realized how ridiculous it was. But Stockstra did it, and then he like walks off to the corner and put like, it was like a puppy who just got caught, like, you know, eating food on the counter or something like that. Like immediately.
Were they really laughing about it? I thought AJ was pissed.
He was, but then they were laughing about it on their benches afterward. But yeah, AJ at the end of the match, they come up to like, you know, shake hands or whatever. And AJ like holds Stockstra's hand, has like some extra words for him. And Stockstra is just being like, sorry, sorry. And Tyra like tries to like get in the middle of it and be like, just leave it alone, leave it alone. And I don't know, it's just a pretty funny scene.
Wild. Well, yeah, I want to see, I wonder what he'll get fined.
That's
for sure. That's probably
pretty good fine.
A more clear fine than anything we've ever seen on a court, I would guess.
Yeah. Like, you think if you were to weigh the fines between like flicking somebody off and that, where do you think we are?
I think that's a lot worse than
somebody. Yeah, I could see a max fine coming here. A little record-breaking fine.
A record-breaking fine, for sure.
Yeah. I wonder how you come up with the estimate for that.
I don't know. We still have no idea what the PPA is fining people.
I don't think they are. I mean,
no. Well, like, I mean, we have an idea, yeah, right? Right? I think the idea is a dollar.
We're going to withhold a dollar, and you have to apologize. But he recorded. I didn't listen to it. I watched Trop's dubbed over version of his apology, but I didn't actually listen to the real apology.
I haven't seen it.
Yeah, maybe it was just an interview, and then Trop acted like it was an apology.
Yeah, because I saw Trop's video, but I didn't actually see anything. I went and looked for it from Fed's page, but I didn't see anything.
Well, because I think it was on a PPA account, which is, yeah, I don't know. Let's see if this was a, yeah, no, it was an apology. We'll have to listen to it later. That's pretty funny though. Good for him. Face the music. Address it right off the bat. Issue your apology.
Yeah. You know what? I don't have anything else to say on that one.
Yeah.
I think I did find it surprising that really I feel like the only shocker of this MLP was the fact that the Black Diamonds didn't make the playoffs. I think everything else was somewhat predictable, right? I feel like I said, I feel like us and DC are the two best teams. I think that the next threshold is probably the Slice, the Drive, and I would have put Utah in there, and there's Miami in there as well. Utah struggled. You had Thomas at the bottom of the player standings, and obviously that's not fully his fault. You know, you could actually theoretically end up there even having played decently. But I think that was the big surprise. Utah finishing 11th out of 12th ahead of the Bouncers. Brooklyn finished third. That was a nice result for them. I think that they're a solid team. Catherine Coop, Hayden and Loon. And the Sliders got to the quarters with Megan Fudge coming in.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
What about the shadows on the court? Does that bug you while you're playing? Very noticeable. Watching on the streams.
Yeah, it looks worse on the streams than it is in like actually playing it.
Yeah.
It impacts things a little bit, but I don't know what you're going to be able to do at this time of year when you build such enormous stands.
Yeah.
Right? And these were built straight up, right? They're not like tennis courts that are kind of a bowl.
Right.
Where the sun would still always come directly in.
Yeah.
Yeah, there were big shadows.
That's tough because you have to build it so that, you know, everything needs to seem more like close together just from an optical standpoint. The court's smaller.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you get around that? I don't know.
Well, the one side, they could have done... they probably could have done it the opposite way, where the, whatever that would be, the sun rises in the east and falls in the west.
Sets.
So you could have had the west side be the more of the...
Yeah, I wonder if they'll switch that around for next week.
Yeah, for Nationals.
Yeah.
I bet they will.
That would really piss off Major League Baseball. Of course.
Yeah, I don't think that's a possibility.
Yeah.
But either way, I think it's cool. You had like a four-story like stands on one side of the court. That's sweet.
Yeah.
Like maybe you just need to build it up even higher so that there's no sun at all.
Yeah.
But it looked worse on the stream than it was actually in person.
What'd you think of Alshon MVP?
Oh yeah, I have a hot take on this. So, actually, I don't know if it's a hot take. But I think there needs to be some consistency. And I don't actually know how the MVP is calculated.
Texts are sent out and you submit votes. We forgot to respond. And so our vote didn't go in. We would have voted for Riley.
Who
voted
for
the
last?
Challenger. But we didn't vote for anybody because we forgot to send a text.
On both of them?
No, because we did vote for Challenger, but we didn't vote for Premier.
Okay. Did you vote for CJ? First in Challenger, who'd you vote for?
I'd have to look it up. So we weigh it as like a team, like all nine of us at the Dink kind of go back and forth as far as like who we think it will be. And I think we had Klinger, and then I can't remember the other one, but yeah, for Premier we just totally forgot to respond to the text. So I think we would have voted for Riley, and then it would have been a different story. I don't know how that would have fallen. But yeah, so Alshon takes MVP. What's your hot take?
Well, I think it's not consistent with what happened last time, right? So for me, I like the idea of value means what you get for what you paid. That's what I think of for value, right? And so Anna Bright last time was a first-round pick and played like a first-round pick.
Yeah.
Good. Rachel, last time, was a fourth-round pick, played like a first- or second-round pick.
Right.
Right? And so I would find that to be actually more valuable.
Yeah. But to me, that's like a different – that's – I don't think it's most improved is the right, like, award for that, but something else, right? There should be, like, an MVP and then – some sort of like underdog award or something like that.
Sure. But I'm saying it's not consistent necessarily, right? Yeah. Last time you gave the MVP to Anna Bright, who was the best player on our team or the best performer on our team.
Mm-hmm.
But and there's an argument that it could have been given to Rachel. This time, if you're going to be consistent, you give it to Riley. But you gave it to Christian. And the stats, Riley was ahead of Christian in the stats. So it's not consistent. And I would have... Honestly, if I was choosing it, I probably would have chosen Rachel, and I do think that Christian deserved it if that's the way that you're going to measure,
mm-hmm.
right? But it's inconsistent how they did it
yeah.
Voted between the two events.
Right. Well, I think it's just...
Whatever, it's just a cruise.
Yeah. all right, new PPA MLP schedule comes out, and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18 Major League Pickleball events next year. Did you look at the new schedule?
I did.
What are your thoughts on that? It's pretty interesting. It seems like Major League Pickleball will look a lot different next year.
Yeah, I still don't really know what next year looks like. So now we at least have dates and locations, but I don't know what they mean.
Yeah, let me try and read through this. So 24 Major League Pickleball teams will play a regular season schedule and be split into six divisions of four teams each. Teams will play at least 40 matches over the course of the regular season, facing every other team at least once.
Where'd you get this from?
This is in our blog, so this is based on the press release.
Oh, okay.
Teams will play, oh yeah, okay, so I just read that. Division opponents will meet three or four times, and teams will play everyone in their rival division. Rival division, I'm not sure. And so they'll play everyone in their rival division two or three times. The two-week MLP playoffs will follow the conclusion of the 2024 regular season. That's a big change.
Yeah, but I think it looks like they're sort of dividing into more regional stuff, right?
Yeah.
And does that mean anything, Home and Away? Or because what I had heard is there's going to be kind of like little pockets,
right,
where the Texas teams meet up in their division and they play a couple times.
Yeah.
So I'll have to actually check that out because I didn't know that info.
And then PPA Tour structure will feature slams worth up to 2,000 ranking points, cups worth up to 1,500 points, and opens up to 1,000 points. The ranking points on the PPA Tour will qualify them for the PPA Tour finals in San Clemente, California. Every PPA Tour stop will provide pickleball enthusiasts of all levels with the opportunity to play with that's just like the amateur stuff. But what do you think about that? So you going into next year, knowing that like there's this point system, they're really trying to build it up to something. Will you be compelled to take PPA events more seriously? Make sure you're showing up to all of them, or like how would that change somebody like you and the way you view the PPA Tour?
I take every event seriously. some more seriously than others.
Okay.
But I suppose it still doesn't really, I still don't know. Meaning like how many events are there? There's 34 total events, or there's 34 weekends and then multiple events. I'm not going to play all of them, right? I'm actually probably going to play the bare minimum. I could honestly, personally care less about whatever final, and that's a me thing, right? I try to keep my play schedule to a minimal so that I can be fired up for every single one.
Yeah, and fresh
and mentally there, focused. And so we still don't really exactly know what we're going to be required to do either, right? Am I required to do all of these events? I don't know. There's still just a lot more information that needs to come out before I'm going to start planning.
Yeah.
I don't know. What do you...
Are you tired of the endless search for the perfect court? Well, say goodbye to court hunting hassles with Swimply, your go-to solution for hassle-free court rentals. So whether you're planning a pickleball party or just want to enjoy a friendly match, Swimply has got you covered. With Swimply, you can easily find and book private courts that suit your game and your schedule. Just download their app, browse available courts in your area, and book the one that's perfect for you. Beautiful backyard pickleball courts are just a tap away, just a tap away. It's an Airbnb for pickleball courts. It's actually a super cool concept. So don't let the court hunt hold you back. Dive into the world of Swimply today. Visit swimply.com or find them in the App Store. Escape locally with Swimply.
I don't know. What are you playing next year, Tommy, now that you're after you and Trop go ahead and win the bounce tournament over in Michigan?
I mean, if I could catch an invite to some of these games around here, you know, I think I still have a shot.
You hit up Carlos.
I told Carlos, I'm like, listen, I can only ask you to play with me one more time, and you say no before I, out of principle and pride, can no longer ask you.
What about,
he's been out of town every time, to his credit, but.
What about,
I handle so many no's.
Ryan Dawijan. I don't know.
I played with him over at Sark. Yeah, I don't know how to say his last name either, but.
Pickleballed.
Yeah.
I mean, epic username. Absolutely epic username.
Yeah, dude, I need to get in some good games around here and get these reps in.
Yeah, that's a rivalry match, too. You got the Dink versus the Reset rivalry match.
Yeah, I'm down for that. We build it up, make it a whole thing.
The kitchen can live stream it.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll get all the content creators involved.
There we go.
That's
interesting. A couple of, just lots of stuff going on over here in Austin.
All right, what else you got? I think we can keep it a pretty short episode here. Anything else?
So
we won't be in studio for a couple weeks. That's why we might have to get it in today.
Yeah, we might have to get some zoomies in.
Yeah.
It looks like you have on here that USA Pickleball announced a new headquarters, and I saw that today too.
Yeah.
That looks pretty sweet.
Yeah. I don't really know much about it. I think our team put that on there.
Oh, okay.
I did see the announcement and the press release, but I didn't get a chance to actually look at it. Just that it's this like massive facility.
Yeah, I wonder how many courts there's going to be.
Yeah.
There's 28 indoor pickleball courts, apparently. your team might be confusing indoor and outdoor. At least the picture that I saw was outdoor, but we'll see. But either way, I saw a picture of it. It looked pretty sweet. So there we go. That's what USA Pickball does.
Yeah, right. At the end of, so you didn't watch the end of that last episode, but my last question to him was like, hey, so we basically called you out and said you guys don't do anything. So here's the floor. What do you guys do? And he talked about all the different stuff they're working on. So this included.
Okay.
USA Pickleball does things. You heard it here first.
There we go. Well, you didn't hear it here first. Then we corrected.
Yeah.
And we got
so credit to us. Credit to us.
Yes, we rock. Yeah. I caught a lot of crap for that. And I do think that the ambassador program is vital.
Yeah. Keep it alive.
Yeah. Okay. Other than that, I don't have a whole lot. I'm glad we were able to get in and chat last minute and go through some of the MLP stuff. I mean, we're not going to do a match-by-match breakdown, but
no.
Covering the most important pieces and the interesting little tidbits from it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't have much else.
All right. Pickle pod.
Yeah. I'm not gonna lie, Tyler has fun.